Hello, everyone. Today is Monday, September the 18th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today comes from 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 5. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today.
Mm-hmm. Jehoshaphat is one of my favorite kind of like obscure characters in the Bible because there's a lot of stuff that he does wrong, but there's also a lot of stuff that he really gets right.
Yeah.
I think this is one of them, just that he understands even in the face of crisis. Like there's a story in 2 Chronicles where these three armies are marching against Israel, and he understands right then and there, like, I need to go to the Lord.
Yeah,
I cannot do this on my own. And I love that. Please inquire for the word of the Lord today.
It's a good reminder for us that we need to constantly be pursuing God and pursuing his will. A lot of times our temptation is to do things in our own power or in our own strength, because especially I feel like for us as men, we want to be kind of in the driver's seat.
Oh, yeah.
We want to be the one kind of in control. And oftentimes that's when things start to spiral out of control because we're not equipped to deal with what's in front of us.
Right.
We have this misconception of, you know, God won't give you more than you can handle, but that's not anywhere in the Bible.
Yeah.
In fact, the opposite is true. God will give you more than you can handle to remind you to rely on him.
That's right.
To remind you to trust in him.
That's right. Why do you think we give you a verse every single day? It's so that you're inquiring for the word of the Lord, whether you want it or not. You are getting a daily dose of God's word.
Right.
And that's the way it's designed to be.
That's right.
You're back, by the way.
I
didn't even say you're back.
Yay.
How was Greece,
oh,
girl?
Oh, my goodness. How was it, girl?
How was it in Europe?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I mean, just walking around and seeing these ancient sites and seeing, we took a trip, Dr. Shah, myself, and several others from here, from the team, David and Nick included. Mm-hmm. We took a trip to Greece and followed Paul's first missionary journey.
Second missionary journey.
So we went to places, first through Greece is
right,
what I meant.
Right.
So we went to places like Philippi. We went to places like Corinth. We went to places like Thessalonica. It was just unbelievable to walk in the steps of Paul and to see those places. It just bolstered your faith and made you feel like the Bible was alive.
Did you see my family over there?
I did.
They were diving for sponges.
I did ask everyone. I was like, do you know anybody named Galantis?
There's none left over there.
No. But we did ask our...
Like, isn't that the annoying guy on that radio show with the glasses?
I've heard of him on Clearview Today.
He doesn't like yummy for some reason.
We did ask our guide over there. I texted you and said, hey, what island was your granddad from? And so we gave her the name of the island. And she said, oh yeah, I know that island very well. They're famous for their sponge diving.
That's what my grandfather did.
Which is crazy.
He was a sponge diver.
She knew that without like off the cuff. And Dr. Shah showed her a picture of you.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, yep, he's definitely here.
Yep. You know, what's funny. He did that the last time he went in 2017, but then he showed him a picture of my dad, who's more Greek than me. And she was like, I don't know about. But that one, definitely.
That's the one. It skipped a generation, I guess. Those real intense Greek genes.
What was your favorite like aha moment? Like when you're like, this is why I came here.
Gosh, that's tough. There's so many that I feel like were just profoundly impactful. And honestly, the further I'm getting from the trip and just kind of looking back over pictures and looking back over, I bought a bunch of books and guides and stuff to help jog my memory.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's coming back in waves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest kind of aha moment for me was Mars Hill.
Yeah.
Was standing on top of Mars Hill and just looking up and seeing the Acropolis and the Parthenon and knowing that this is where Paul in Acts 17 gives this famous, you know, Men of Athens address.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that we were standing in that same spot, although, you know, tons of time had passed.
Oh yeah.
Knowing that we were standing in the footsteps of Paul. That for me was probably the highlight.
It's crazy to think about how much time has passed. Because even in Paul's day, Athens was not what it once was, like in antiquity. And so I think him going there and seeing all this stuff, like what it's devolved into. Mm-hmm. And then it says like his heart was troubled for it. I can imagine. And then standing there 2,000 years later and looking around at like the lostness and the depravity and be like, man, it's like not much has changed. You can almost put yourself in Paul's footsteps and feel burdened for the people who are there.
And you know, one of the most profound things that struck me as we were walking around is that, you know, gods and goddesses and mythology were very much an integral part of Greek culture, but they still are, although not in the way that they were.
Yeah.
So you were walking past souvenir shops and you would see like, they had like a depiction of Zeus in like a business suit or like Athena, who was like a businesswoman behind a desk. So it was like this marble statue head, but she was wearing like modern clothes.
Yeah.
And there was like little artwork here and there, but I was like, man, these are so infused into culture that I don't know that people are like actively going to temples anymore. But they're still very much a part of Greek culture. So that lostness that Paul experienced is still very much there.
I think that a lot, especially about our own modern myths.
Yeah.
So like what I mean by that is there are characters that are so infused into our cultural fiber that thousands of years from now, if Christ doesn't return, and like future civilizations will look back and be like, they worshiped this like this mouse, and he had like a duck friend. It's insane because we have way more fictional characters even now, like all through these ages.
Yeah,
but man, it's funny how civilizations work. I wish I could have gone. I'm looking forward to the day when I can kind of travel again apart from having small kids.
Yeah. So this was the first trip that Elizabeth and I have taken like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, we went on mission trips in college to like Guatemala and stuff before we had kids. But since the kids were born, I mean, other than like going away for a week for a mission trip here at church, we'd never gone on a trip like this. So to be able to go and share that with her and have that time, it was, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Oh,
and to bring it back and show our kids like, hey, the stuff that you read about in the Bible, mom and dad were there and to help them grow their faith. And you know, Dr. Shaw recorded videos. I was recording videos for the students here to be able to bring that back and sort of like, this is what we experienced. Yeah. And this is why it matters to your faith.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you're back.
Yes. We're glad to be back. I was kind of worried about the intro today, but you know, you just kind of fall into muscle memory. It's like riding a bike. So we're going to grab Dr. Shaw. We're going to continue our conversation, talk more about Greece and the things that we learned. If you guys enjoyed today's topic, or you'd like to learn more about Greece or travel or what that looks like, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back.
Well, good morning, afternoon, evening, Clearview Today listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a quick second and let you know about another way that you can keep in touch with Dr. Shaw's work, and that is his weekly podcast series, Sermons by Abadan Shaw, PhD.
As a lot of you may know, or maybe some of you don't know.
If you don't know, you do now.
And if you don't know, then maybe just hop off the podcast.
David,
I'm just playing.
Hop off the podcast.
I'm just playing. Keep listening. Dr. Shaw is actually the lead pastor of Clearview Church in North Carolina. Every single weekend, he preaches expository messages that challenge and inspire us to live God-honoring lives.
And one of the four core values of Clearview Church is that we're a Bible-believing church. So every sermon is coming directly from Scripture, which is great because that guarantees that there are timeless truths that are constantly applicable to our lives.
This is a great resource because whether you're driving, whether you're cleaning the house, whether you're working out, you can always benefit from hearing the Word of God spoken into your life. And God's Word is always going to do something new for you every time you hear it. Sometimes it's conviction, and sometimes it's encouragement. But know that every time you listen to God's Word, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life.
You guys can check out the Sermons by Abadan Shaw, PhD podcast. First and foremost, check it out on our church app. That's the Clearview app. You can get that in the Google Play Store. You can get that on iTunes. But you can also find the podcast on the Apple Podcast app or on our website at clearviewbc.org. And listen, if you've got a little extra time on your hands, you just want to do some further reading, you can also read the transcripts of those sermons. Those are available on Dr. Shaw's website, abadanshaw.com. And we're going to leave you guys a little link in the description so you can follow it. But for right now, David, let's hop back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 5028.
That's right. And if today's your first time ever joining us here on the Clearview Today Show, we want to welcome you, let you know exactly who's talking to you today. Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abadanshah.com. And let me be the first to say, welcome back.
Absolutely. It's good to be back home.
Yes, it is.
We had the best time for the past 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan was there, and so were Nicholas and David in the back. Of course, Elizabeth, your wife, went as well. Mm-hmm. I know she had a great time.
Yes.
And it was not just a tour. Mm-hmm. This was a time of learning. This was a time of filming as well. We filmed. I did. And then Ryan did as well on different topics. Mine was more to the congregation for Bible studies and things like that. Ryan's was, of course, for Bible studies, but more geared towards student ministry and how Paul's journey and Paul's life made an impact on Christians and how his life can still make an impact on students.
Right.
Exactly. So you were focused on that as well. So very, very productive time. And I'm so grateful you guys were there.
Yes. Oh, man. It was breathtaking to go around. And of course, I mean, Greece is a beautiful country anyway. You have these rich blues from the sky and from the sea and just kind of seeing the different landscapes and seeing the different cities. And as we were going through, you know, we spent time in various places. Some nights, some places we were there for three nights, other times we were only there for one night, but traveling around to these different places and seeing, you know, how Christianity came to Greece and how God used Paul to transform the landscape was just, it makes scripture come to life.
I think one of the things that people tend to forget is that you can hop on a plane and go somewhere, but in order to do what we're doing, you really have to have a contact who's overseas that you've spent time fostering a relationship.
Absolutely. You know, everywhere I go, I'm looking to build relationships and not just relationships so I can take advantage of them and say, hey, can I get you as my guide next time? But no, relationships that would benefit them.
That's right.
And then relationships that would benefit us. I want to benefit them. I want to be the best possible connection for them for a steady stream of visitors.
What was it like when you y'all landed in Thessalonica or Thessaloniki?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that like when you saw it for the first time?
Man, I mean, I have a recording of it on my phone, like just the plane touching down and just this feeling of anticipation, this excitement, landing on the ground and just knowing like kind of you have in your mind what's laid out ahead of you. You have the itinerary in front of you, you know, like we're going to this city and we're visiting this and we're seeing this, but there's nothing that can prepare you for actually walking in those steps and being in those places and just growing and learning. I mean, I've learned so much. I would get back to the room, Elizabeth and I would get back to the room at night and we'd, you know, back up all the footage and pictures and everything. But we would also just kind of talk and like write things down and look through notes and just, I mean, I feel like there's so much that we're still kind of processing and still kind of absorbing from the trip.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see, I think, how Paul is going through this journey. Cause you guys didn't travel to his places, like in his chronology, you kind of went, and so piecemealing it together, this thing that we're filming, coming out of it, like Thessalonica, what are some of the things that really stood out to you most of all in that city? Because I know that's where you visited out the Alexander the Great
statue there.
Yeah,
right on the seacoast.
Yeah.
So Thessaloniki, I've been there several times now. It's a very old city. Okay, I mean, this is going back to the time of, I would say, even pre-Alexander the Great. I mean, you're going into the 7th, 6th, 7th, 8th century. And then in time, Philip of Macedon had this city, who was Alexander the Great's father. So there's a lot of history behind it. And so going through the city, it's sometimes you just have to pinch yourself and go, this place is not just from the time of Moses, I mean, Paul, this place goes back to the time beyond, name the people like Homer.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going back to 7th, 8th century BC.
Yeah.
700, 800 years before Christ. 700, 800 years ago. All right. Just think for a moment. America has not even been founded.
No, right. not even a thought in anyone's mind.
Yeah, we're in the medieval times, right? We're coming out of the Norman conquest.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, this is a whole different world.
Yeah.
So That's a long time that this city was standing there already.
That's incredible. And I saw some shots of you specifically talking to the camera in front of the Alexander the Great statue. But then I saw an underneath shot, like a worm's eye view of you standing, and you're in the immediate foreground. But then you see this massive statue of Alexander on the horse. And I was like, holy cow.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
looks
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah, it's a tremendous monument. I mean, it's just breathtaking to behold. And just to think about, you know, you can almost look. And the thing that struck me, I think, the most was to see that there's a modern element to the city, too. I mean, they have their very updated things. And, you know, you're walking around this city. But like you said, Dr. Shaw, it is a very old city. So you kind of look through and you see, like, oh, there's some ruins there. Oh, here's a really old cathedral and a really old basilica. And just
kind of right there in the middle of the city.
Side by side. I mean, just the modern and the ancient kind of next to each other. If you squint your eyes a little bit, you can be like, I feel like Alexander could just kind of like come strolling down the street right there, or, you know, Philip of Macedon like rides in, or like Paul walking through the streets. You have this sense of history like almost playing itself out in front of you.
Yeah.
I know in 2017 you were up on the rip, because the Agora is like down in this like pit.
Yes.
But this year, did you get to go down in it?
No. Okay. Unfortunately, things move slowly in Greece.
Really?
Yeah, they do. So back in 2017, it was the same thing. Can't go down there because we're still working. Mm. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. This time I was like, oh, yeah, we get to go. Can't go down there because it's still working.
Yeah. Still in progress.
I didn't know.
Yeah. But the museum was sort of open because I saw some couples going in there. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, it's open. Let's go there. But we didn't have time. But I would have loved to have gone into the museum. But but the ancient side of Thessaloniki is not very big. I would say maybe 2 football fields. Mm-hmm. Right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, not very big at all.
2 football fields.
Wow.
And you're basically walking on the outside, of balcony type thing.
Okay.
And so you're looking down into this agora. And the most important thing for me is the bima. The bima that is on, if you're coming from the south side of the city, I guess, there's a bima in the middle of the agora. Mm-hmm. And more than likely, Paul walked up that bima and spoke.
That's incredible.
Because if he's talking in the marketplace, just like Hyde Park in London, where they have the speaker's corner. Like, if you want have something to say, you can get up there and speak. Mm-hmm. It's just a freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want to. Mm-hmm. And that's your time. And so the bima is that place where people could walk up and speak.
That's incredible.
We're getting this idea of freedom of speech from...
From there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You have this platform. You've been given this platform. Use it because you have a limited time and then you have to get off.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That bima up there is...
And so Paul would have stood on that
more
exact
than likely,
bima.
Yes. Yeah. And it's still standing there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Same thing in other places like Berea and Philippi. In the church, the Basilica A had the bima as well.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
We saw the bima in Corinth. Just to know, like, these are the steps that Paul took. It's not just like you're looking at it through a picture or you're looking at these kind of stones that are in a museum. I mean, just to see it and to be able to walk in some places, to be able to walk up those steps is just, it does a profound thing for your faith to know, like, to read those things on the page in scripture and then to be in those places. There's words can't describe it.
Now, was Thessalonica the place where they were staying with Jason?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought.
In fact, we were able to go by, I'm trying to pull up the itinerary over here. Mm-hmm. We were able to go by the church, which is considered to be the place where Jason was.
Wow.
Yeah. And, there's, of course, a Byzantine chapel there now. But on the side of that chapel, inside the chapel, but it's to like the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. There's a little, tiny little sanctuary, very tiny. When I say tiny, I'm talking about no more than maybe 5x5.
Yeah, it's very small.
Very small. But that's where you find the original floor of Jason's house.
Really? It's still intact?
It's still the original floor.
Wow.
And so that is the floor on which more than likely Paul stood. Yeah. Had to. I mean, he was staying in there.
Yeah. Yeah. He would have absolutely walked across it.
Yeah.
From Thessalonica. So you guys landed in Thessalonica.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then after that went to Philippi?
Yes. Okay. Our next visit was, we kind of drove around Thessalonica for a little bit and it was daylight. So she showed us parts of the town, right?
Yep.
And just kind of gave us an idea of what things are here. And then from there, we went to our hotel and all those things. And hotel was phenomenal.
It was, oh man.
Like a horseshoe shape. What do you think, Dave?
The hotel was I was like blown away at like the quality of the hotel. And then I know this is going to sound weird. I might have to take this out for on air, but my favorite part was the shower. Like
in the hotel?
At the hotel.
Electra Palace?
Electra Palace.
It was a very nice shower.
What was it like?
It was just like, the doors close and then it's like a waterfall from the ceiling.
Like
really?
One of those rain shower.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Great. It was great.
We didn't have that.
Oh.
You just had it in your
I did.
Just,
I had that in my room.
Had it in ours too. Yeah, it was nice. It was so nice. The thing for me is that every hotel, just the view for breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to like a continental breakfast in like, I'm in Holiday Inn and Suites or something, and it's okay, whatever. But you go up on the rooftop, it's a rooftop restaurant, and you look out and you see these mountains, and you see, I mean, in Thessaloniki, we saw just the bay right there looking out over the water. In Athens, we would look out and we could see the Parthenon mm-hmm. over in the distance. I'm like,
where do you get
what is
this?
Life right now? What's yeah. happening?
Did you like, say, you said the hotel was like a horseshoe?
It was well,
like
a horseshoe but shape? It's sitting in like a horseshoe formation
okay.
looking towards the bay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's Electra Palace. Here is Hotel Olympion, mm-hmm. I think it is. So it's like this. And there's a huge square that mm-hmm. is open in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a happening place. So at night you have so many people. I won't say like it's like jam-packed or anything. I mean, there's a lot of people who are just hanging out there, mm-hmm. eating,
mm-hmm.
kids, teenagers, mm-hmm. walking around. The shop's open, fast food, this and that. So that's the place where all that happens. And so we really enjoyed staying there. And they had ice cream shops right next to us. Mm-hmm. So
wow.
That's we were able awesome. To go yeah. in.
Get you some ice cream.
Ice cream.
Yes.
At the end of a hard day of filming, stop and get you some ice
stop.
Cream.
Get
what
some
the,
ice
what
cream.
Is the ice cream like to. In Greece?
So they've got, they have the you know, traditional flavors that you would think of, but they also have stuff that's just, I mean, you wouldn't even conceive of it as a flavor. Like they had tiramisu ice cream.
Ooh.
They had fig ice cream that we had in one restaurant that was so good.
Mango, Dr. Shine, of course, was my favorite.
Dr. Shine, I got the fig and it was, I mean, it had like fresh figs in it.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, so good.
So tell me about Philippi. After you leave Thessaloniki, well, not leave Thessaloniki, but you go to Philippi early on in the trip. What was that like seeing? Because I know that's like the Agora. You can like walk around and touch stuff. And, mm-hmm. actually walked those streets that Paul walked.
For me, it was the second time again.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there before. So I knew what to expect. So I was sort of ready. When we got there, we had a little issue with the tickets.
Mm.
Or our tour guide did.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's a phenomenal person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have really come to admire her. She's a Christian and phenomenal person. Her knowledge of Greek mythology, Greek history, biblical accounts is just amazing how much she knows
mm-hmm.
and how much she weaves those things in and out
mm-hmm.
of stories of experiences and accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know everything about all that she was saying, but the things I did know, she was dead on.
Yeah.
Dates, times, peoples, names. I'm like, how do you remember all those names? And they're yeah. not like easy names. Pericles.
Yeah.
Andronicus,
you know,
forget about the Socrates, Aristotle,
yeah.
Plato, Alexander, Lysimachus, Cassander. I mean, all these, I know those names, but
yeah,
how
yeah.
do you remember the names that you have read them in some history book
mm-hmm.
or heard them in some lecture, but how do you remember? So she's like phenomenal. But anyways, we got to this site
mm-hmm.
and temporarily she was busy trying to figure out why this ticket is not showing up in their system and blah, blah, blah. So she's over there doing that. So I already knew. So we made our way in.
Yeah.
And began at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And this theater, for those of you who've been to Philippi, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, this theater was in the process of being built when Paul got there.
Mm-hmm.
And more than likely, Paul did not go in the theater because Paul arrived there in the wintertime
mm-hmm.
and theaters were not open in the winter.
Right.
Yeah.
But just to know that Paul walked by the theater.
Yeah, that's incredible. That this is a structure that
yes.
that Paul would have yeah. looked on. He would have seen it. Even if he didn't go there, he would have been seeing. It's kind of cool. Like Paul saw what I'm seeing.
Right.
Yes.
And I saw what I'm seeing now what he saw.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the theater was really cool because there's ruins and there's rubble and there's the kind of columns over here and there. But the theater is largely, I mean, most of it is intact.
Intact, yeah.
So you walk in and you can sit in the seats and you can look down and you see the area where the actors would have been and you look down and our tour guide actually like reenacted a small little Greek tale for us while we were there. So just kind of sitting there and knowing that, you know, people were here.
Mm-hmm.
many, many, many years ago, it connects you with history. For me, just kind of walking in and seeing, this is my first time to go to Greece. I didn't know what to expect. But just to kind of walk in and just see everything so accessible. I kind of expected, you know, we can walk through, but everything's going to be roped off and you can look at it, but you can't like walk through it. No, we're walking on these
steps. You're walking on the actual slabs. Mm-hmm. You're sitting on the actual seats. Mm-hmm. You're touching ancient carvings. You know, not some places you're not supposed to touch. Other places, I mean, you cannot help but touch them. It's just there.
Yeah, it's there.
It's like, okay. And there are letters on them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And these are ancient inscriptions going back not just 100, 200 years, 2,000 plus years.
Yeah.
History comes much smaller you hear that.
And then you go around the corner and there's a baptistry.
Yeah.
You remember that baptistry,
yeah,
David?
The baptistry was actually pretty cool because it's like you look in and it's the tiles that were there.
Yes.
Like it wasn't like,
yeah,
this is this thing. It's like this could have possibly been there. It's like, no, these are tiles. And she explained each color, like this is actually from this place and this is from this place. And they added it all together. And I think either the baptistry or the Bema were just my favorite, just to see, like,
At Philippi.
Yeah. To see you standing on the Bema or just standing, like, next to the baptistry was just... Yeah.
And when you come out of that baptistry, you go down the narthex of the Basilica A, and then you turn to the left and go to the place which is considered to be the place where the jail was.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to stand there and look at it.
Yep, you can look into it. There's a cell there. I mean, you just look in and you can almost picture Paul and Silas there in jail in chains.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was pretty profound for me, was looking at the jail.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So we came out of there and immediately went to the site where the baptism took place. Now, keep in mind, there's a chapel there. There's a basilica there. Not basilica. There's a chapel built in the fashion of a basilica where today people can go and have baptisms. Mm-hmm. And there was one wedding there, mm-hmm, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this goes on there. And it is very near to the actual basilica that was built on the site of the baptism.
Wow.
Baptism that where Lydia's baptism took place.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were building the parking lot for this basilica,
mm-hmm,
that today is used for baptisms and all that, they actually found the ruins of the ancient basilica.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So I guess they halted production on the parking lot?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, they're like, done. Shut it
it's
down.
It's over. And this basilica is very interesting because the stones in them, y'all remember what they were? They were sarcophagus. They were gravestones. That came from a local graveyard.
Wow.
They were brought initially to the Battle of Philippi between Mark Antony and Octavian on one side and Cassius and Brutus on the other side.
Wow.
Remember, Cassius and Brutus had murdered Julius Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a big battle, a war, I guess, between Mark Antony and Octavian,
mm-hmm,
and Cassius and Brutus. And so they chose the battleground of Philippi to wage that battle.
Wow.
But it was real muddy and slimy there.
Mm-hmm.
So they took all these gravestones so they can make a path to get to each other's armies.
Huh. And so they found those gravestones.
Well, after the battle was done, which is, you know, about 100 years prior to Paul's coming
there.
Then they took those gravestones and used them in building this basilica.
Mm-hmm.
Where Lydia's baptism took place several hundred years later.
That's
so
insane.
these graves, how do we know there was a gravestone? Because those are the same gravestones that were taken to the Battle of Philippi, which is not very far from there,
mm-hmm,
and then later on reused in this basilica.
Yeah.
But going back to Lydia's baptism, it was awesome to go by the Orontes River or Zygactes River and just dip my hand in there,
mm-hmm,
and pick up some of that water.
Yep.
I knew the water had changed, of course, we know that. But just to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And know that this is the place that the first convert on the European side was made.
The first European Christian.
I wouldn't say the first European because she was not a European. She was from Thyatira.
Okay.
But the first convert on European soil.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Was made.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, I could keep talking about Greece yeah. For the next few days. I know we're out of time on today's episode, but
we're gonna have to really rush the next episode to get the 8 days.
We gotta communicate everything that we got to see and experience. But if you guys enjoyed today's topic, if you have questions about Greece or what it would look like for you to maybe check it out one day, maybe some sites to visit, let us know by sending us a text 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And don't forget that you can partner with us financially on that same website. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.